You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Welcome to the Earth Station MCU podcast, your home for all things related to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, including Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter, The Avengers, Guardians of the Galaxy, and so much more. Visit us at our Facebook group, Earth Station MCU, at earthstationmcu.wordpress.com, or email us at earthstationmcu@gmail.com. Hello, Marvel Universe! My name is Jennifer Hartshorn, and welcome back to another episode of Earth Station MCU. We don't have quite as much news as we did last week, but we got some interesting confirmations and whatnot, and some interesting speculation. And of course, we've got the season finale of Agent Carter. So without further ado, how goes it with you, John?
I live! No way.
Every week you're trying to top what you did last week, right?
Well, you know, you got to come up with something different and make it entertaining, at least for myself. I don't know how entertaining it is for the listeners.
Fair enough. Okay, cool. Well, so we've got a number of things that have been going on. Actually, just before we went on air, you had posted something, and a couple of others did, about a comment Haley Atwell made.
Yeah, Haley said that she's perfectly willing to come back for season three, should they do that. They probably won't know the fate of Agent Carter until May, when ABC presents all its stuff for the next year.
Right.
And there's even a possibility that Agent Carter and Conviction will both get promoted.
Right. And I guess the big story there is that she has she has thought it over, and she thinks that she could balance both of them. And I mean, it's not impossible, especially with Agent Carter being a very limited run series of,
right.
We have 8 episodes last year and 10 this year.
Yeah, I mean, and consider with Preacher filming, we were afraid we weren't going to have Howard at all, but
yeah, we got 2.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good.
I think it was more like 3, but
was it 3?
Maybe, I think so.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Regardless.
So it's good that, obviously it's good that she's willing to come back. Although as of right now, to get on to another bit of news, S.H.I.E.L.D. has officially been renewed, which is awesome.
As if there was a doubt.
Well, yeah, but it was what actually surprised me was I don't usually pay attention to ratings or things like that very much,
right.
But I saw a chart that someone probably Henry had posted.
I think it was
up,
Henry.
Yeah, of where different basically where different shows were in terms of their likelihood of being renewed on ABC. And obviously, some of them already got cut, but Agent Carter is kind of at the bottom of the ones that are iffy, and only just barely above Agent Carter is Castle. And I was like, no, how is this possible?
I don't know, because I really haven't been watching Castle for a couple of years.
Yeah.
The last I saw, he and Detective Kate were going to get married,
and that's pretty much
the last I caught. And
I haven't been watching it live, but I watch it in reruns and stuff. So, but yeah, I mean that's been a big hit for a long time, and even Once Upon a Time was
right.
down in the questionable, and for a long time that was a very solid hit,
and
compared to all of those things, S.H.I.E.L.D. has been doing great.
And these are all shows that, they're always on the bubble, but they always seem to get renewed as well.
So anyway, it's good news that S.H.I.E.L.D. is coming back, obviously. I think it will be interesting to see if, because, you know, we this time last year we were talking about the potential for a Bobby spinoff, and it never got picked up. I don't even know if the pilot got made, but there was a lot of talk about it, and then it never happened. Well, we're back to having a lot of talk about it, but I don't know if that has been officially confirmed.
Well, the fact that they're casting people beyond, obviously, Bobby and Lance is a good sign that they're going to move forward, at least with a pilot.
Right, right. But I would be a little bit surprised if they ended up having three series going at once. So, who knows? But I think I would be a little bit surprised just because... It makes perfect sense to have one full-blown series and one special series to fill in the hiatus. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, unless they're going to have, Marvel's Most Wanted, like, be the summer fill-in series, which would be great.
But summer fill-in series don't usually fare that well.
They usually don't, but on the other hand, you know, you need something to fill in that slot.
Although, you know, look at DC and the CW, and right now we've got Arrow, Flash, and Legends of Tomorrow going on.
Right. And that's true. I mean, I shouldn't be disloyal to my Marvel peeps, but, you know, in a head to head, I would say that Flash is probably the best superhero show that is on TV right now, not counting Netflix. Netflix is a whole other thing, but I think that on the whole, Arrow and Flash have been stronger than the Marvel ones. Not saying I don't like the Marvel ones, but I think that they've got better audiences, and you know, just I don't know. I love Flash.
I like Flash too. You know, you've already seen Legends of Tomorrow. I'm gonna have to catch it tomorrow.
Yep.
But I have to watch Legends of Tomorrow.
indeed.
But you know, I think it's a great thing to have all these shows on at once.
Yes.
I don't really get the us versus them mentality. I was just having to respond to someone on my wall who was, well, you know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. wishes it had the character development and the camaraderie that Agent Carter does. And I'm like, well, this isn't a fight. This isn't...
No, it's not a fight, but at the same time, I mean, valid point. You know, it's not like... I think that there are many, many things.
Mommy and Daddy are fighting.
I think there are many, many things that are done better on Agent Carter, but it's also a very, very different situation. They have a much smaller cast. They have a much shorter number of episodes to do. Mm-hmm. They are not, you know, they're playing in a much smaller fishbowl. There's a lot less that they have to account for compared to a modern series that's trying to Easter egg in stuff from all over the place. So I mean they're I love them both, but in different ways. You know?
Okay, that's fair.
And Agent Carter I love a little bit more. But anyway. So there's S.H.I.E.L.D. is renewed, so that's good.
Yes.
Still don't know about Agent Carter, but it's looking good. We're hopeful. We're all hanging in there. So speaking of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., we have official confirmation from Marvel that Ward is Hive, which is exactly what we'd all been speculating about, but we have it officially now.
Yeah, and I mean, for those who haven't caught previous episodes, Hive is a character from the comics who is kind of a creation of Hydra, and basically it's kind of a parasitic being. In the comics, is actually a whole bunch of parasitic beings that have a group mind and possess a Hydra agent. When this, it seems to be right now that Hive is just one parasitic being that can live in a host body, but the host body still decays over time.
So what do we think he's going to have for powers? Is it just like he's tougher? Is he...
I mean, he can apparently some of those dust storms.
Right, that's true.
And whatever he can do, it ravages the surface of that planet.
Right, mm-hmm.
I would say a naturally long life, even if he's still basically a rotting corpse, he's mm-hmm. still able to hold himself together.
Right. And it sounds like, from what they've said and what we've seen elsewhere, that he's going to completely retain the memories of whoever it is that he's possessing and right. whoever it is that he possessed previously. So he's still got all of Will's memories and all of Ward's.
Yeah, and usually when that happens in stories, they end up using it to kind of taunt the heroes a little bit. Like,
oh, sure.
Oh, I remember such and such, and so never loved you.
Right, exactly. So that's certainly going to be interesting. I'm wondering, because of the nature of it in the comics, if it's going to be something where he can, like, you know, like break off a piece of the parasite and infect somebody else, and then they'll be like a minion or something. But
I don't know. I mean, that remains to be seen.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Also along the same lines with S.H.I.E.L.D., we found out that we're getting a comics crossover from Fitzsimmons, which is kind of awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're going to show up in the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, and they've both been voiced by Ian and by... why am I blanking on her name?
Elizabeth Henstridge.
Elizabeth, yeah.
Yes.
So Elizabeth Henstridge and Ian DeCasper are both going to be showing up, voicing their characters in Ultimate Spider-Man, just as the Clark Gregg does as Coulson.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that could mean more S.H.I.E.L.D. characters eventually. Maybe we see May or Mac. Mm-hmm. Who knows?
Sure. And they've been in, there's a S.H.I.E.L.D. comic that they've already been in, right?
Yes. Right. Yeah, they've all appeared in that, and now we've got another MCU character appearing in the comics.
Mm-hmm.
If you read or have read Assault on Pleasant Hill, the new kind of overarching storyline that's going to go through all the Avengers books and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and a few of the other characters were connected to it.
So it's like one of those big storylines that goes across several different comics at the same time to make you buy like 15 books a week or something.
Yeah, and this is going to be a little spoilery if you haven't read it yet, mm-hmm. so you might want to plug your ears, but I'll explain how Dr. Eric Selvig comes into the picture.
Ooh, cool.
Yeah, in this particular storyline, Maria Hill has decided to use fragments of the Cosmic Cube to create kind of like almost like a situation like in The Prisoner, you know, the old mm-hmm. TV show, where it's this perfect idyllic town,
mm-hmm.
but it's all populated with brainwashed supervillains.
Interesting.
That's the new prison for them, is that she has brainwashed all these bad guys into just being these regular old townsfolk.
Wow.
And it's kind of like, it's both prison and reforming them at the same time. But a few of them have discovered the truth and are rebelling.
Huh.
And Selvig is basically kind of in charge of the scientific side of things.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the fragments of the Cosmic Cube, or what we know as the Tesseract in mm-hmm. the MCU, have managed to gain some kind of consciousness and taken the form of a small girl that Selvig is kind of a guardian to.
Huh. Interesting. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Yes, a lot of people forget about Selvig, but he's one of the only characters that has crossed over into a number of different movies now.
Yeah, because he's appeared throughout the Thor movies and in Avengers and Age of Ultron.
Right, exactly. And so he's, you know,
mm-hmm.
given that we don't have Fury showing up all the time, and obviously we don't have Coulson showing up all the time, he's,
right.
you know, because I really thought that he was going to be like a one and done character, but they've continued involving him with stuff, so that's
well,
pretty cool.
It's just like Coulson, he proved to be a very popular minor character, so they keep bringing him back.
I hate his storyline in Dark World. That just made no kind of sense to me.
I love the line, though. It's like, I've had a god in my brain. I don't recommend it.
Exactly. That's true. That's true. Did get some good lines and everything, but the him running around naked in Stonehenge, that was just like, what, why are we even
Yeah,
doing
so I think
this?
everybody will have cared to have seen his sons do that as opposed to him.
Indeed, indeed. So anyway, yeah. So it's good. It's cool that he's getting to do some cool crossover stuff. You know, it's all connected, and that's part of what we love about it, the way that it all kind of ties together.
Yeah, and that's just one of the great things when a character proves to be popular enough, eventually they make their way into the comics, as most of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. cast have.
Just as the ones that are successful in the comics make it into the movies. So it's
Indeed.
pretty cool. And then finally, so of course we've got a new Spider-Man movie that's going to be coming out, and you know, they're recasting, obviously, you know, Aunt May and Peter and everybody else. But I know I'm not the only one in fandom that would love to see J. Jonah Jameson continue to be played by J.K. Simmons, because he was
Yes.
just, he was definitive. He was
It was
just,
perfect.
he was absolutely perfect for it. But on the
And then
one.
we got really disappointed by Amazing Spider-Man that chose not to really have him at all.
Right, exactly.
He only shows up as, I think, like an email or a text message in the
Right.
second movie.
Right, exactly. And you know, J.K. Simmons has been incredibly successful, and you know, probably he would cost a whole lot more than he did back when they were first making those. But
Maybe.
even that aside, most likely they're going to recast it, just because they're doing that for everybody. And people have put forth an interesting suggestion, which is Ice Cube.
I'm not going to say I can't see it, but at the same time, it just seems like he's played that character.
Yeah.
He's played that character in a few things. And I don't know if he'd want to go in that direction.
Yeah, there's that. I think that, you know, when you've got a character, an actor who just so completely embodies exactly what you think a role should be,
right.
It's hard to think about somebody else in that part. You know, just like, you know, every time we get a new Superman or a new Batman
Right.
or a new Wonder Woman or something, you know, it's
Yeah.
like, you know, you'll never be Adam West or
Yeah,
or
but it's not
Christopher
like
Reeve.
everybody can't be recast because, of course, Jameson has been a few different people. If you grew up like I did watching the Spider-Man animated
That's
series in
true.
the 90s, we had Ed Asner
Right.
as Jameson,
Which
and he was perfect up until like J.K. Simmons came along.
Right, exactly. Do you think that's a character that they can cast someone who's not white for? Do you think that would still work?
I mean, anything could technically still work.
Yeah. I mean, that was something that I saw some people discussing. Of course, people are still up in arms over the Iron Fist thing.
Yeah.
But
I mean, not to mention, I mean, we've also already have that happen with Man of Steel and Batman versus Superman with Lawrence Fishburne as Perry White.
That's true. That's
so
true.
So Marvel may not want to, like,
Well, that's yeah. I didn't even think
cast
of that.
him in order because they'll
Because it
probably
would look
end up
too
getting,
much like that. Yeah.
yeah, they'll get the comparisons of, well, DC or Warner Brothers cast Lawrence Fishburne, so Marvel cast so and so to try to keep up.
Yeah,
And,
not to mention Jimmy Olsen or James Olsen on Supergirl.
Right.
Also being cast across. So yeah, that's a good point.
And then
a lot
Iris
of people
West and in Flash.
Yep. So while it could work, it probably would be not as interesting as some of the other options that they could come up with.
Yeah,
But
I mean, there could be plenty of interesting characters who could do this. You know who I'd like to see?
Who's that?
I think it would be interesting. Michael Shannon.
Remind me who Michael Shannon has played before? Because
he
I'm
was
blanking.
Zod in Man of Steel.
That would be very funny. Yes.
If you like, he when he gets angry, it's practically hilarious. You need to go read. You need to go watch the video of him rereading the sorority letter.
Okay.
Because it's one. It was a real letter from the president of the sorority who felt that her sisters were not being active enough and not really giving enough of a crap at sorority events and mixer events with their fraternity. And he's reading it in kind of this, forgive my French, angry bitch girl style, like mean girl style. And it's absolutely hilarious.
That could be very interesting. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's lots of options there.
And he wouldn't be the first person to cross the DC Marvel divide neither.
That's true. We haven't had a lot though.
Not too many, but yeah. It does happen.
True, true. But some interesting, you know, fan casting speculation. I don't think we're not going to be getting that until, is it 2018? I think for Spider-Man.
I wanted to say it was 2017.
Because this year
I think we're getting Spider-Man and Thor Ragnarok in the same year.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Because this year's Civil War and Doctor Strange. And then is it next year that we get three, and we've got Ragnarok and Guardians 2 and Spidey? Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
And then Black Panther, I believe, comes in 2018.
Right. Right. And then we get Infinity War 1, and then Inhumans is after both the Infinity War ones, right?
Yes, that's going to be afterwards.
Yeah, yeah. And then
it was originally going to take place between them, but now it's pushed back.
Right. Oh, and we've also got Ant-Man and the Wasp, and that's before Infinity War or between them?
It might be. Give me a second. Let me look up a new current timeline.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think it's they've got so many movies coming out right now. There's just this so much happening at once.
Let's see. I pull up the Den of Geek full Marvel release calendar. Yeah, Doctor Strange. So 2017, Guardians 2, Spider-Man, Thor Ragnarok. 2018, Black Panther, Infinity War Part 1, Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Okay.
Apparently they're still planning on an animated Spider-Man movie.
Okay.
Then 2019 is Infinity War Part 2, Captain Marvel, and Inhumans.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So we're getting
in
up...
2020 we get three that we don't know what they're going to be yet.
Exactly. Exactly. So that'll be interesting. We have a lot of good stuff to look forward to. So
right, and of course, I mean, we remember that the time between Ant-Man and Civil War is essentially going to be the longest period that we're going without a Marvel film.
Right.
The next, you know, 4 years.
Not to mention the fact that in between those, we've got Netflix series coming out.
Yes.
All the time.
And we've still got Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., mm-hmm. and we might still have Agent Carter.
Mm-hmm. And Marvel's Most Wanted.
Yes, indeed.
So we got and that's just on the Marvel side.
Yep.
You know, we've got on the Fox side, what do we mm-hmm. have this year? Apocalypse.
Yep.
And we've had Deadpool.
Yep.
And
we've got plans for
Suicide Squad.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and they've got Fox has plans for New Mutants for mm-hmm. a Deadpool sequel. You know, Wolverine 3.
Right, which mm-hmm. people are saying is going to be an old man Logan thing, which would be very interesting, I think.
Yes,
but,
which it'll be very interesting to do, considering that half of that comic book story
mm-hmm.
involves characters in the MCU.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Well, who knows what the future may bring? You know, I never thought in a million years we would get Spidey back. So that's cool.
Give us Fantastic Four, you jerks.
You know what? I don't even want Fantastic Four at this point.
I just want it done well, and I want it done by Marvel.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, leave it on the shelf until after Infinity War, as far as I'm concerned. You know, get them back eventually, but give it some cooling off time from the steaming pile of poo that was the last one, but
yeah, I think we want to make sure everybody forgets about that first. Which, you know, I was watching
uh-huh.
The Martian. I finally had purchased that. I read the book, so uh-huh. I wanted to see the movie. And it's pretty interesting when Matt Damon is mm-hmm. talking about flying like Iron Man.
Right.
Meanwhile, on the ship, you've got the Winter Soldier, Susan Storm, and Luis.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, that. Not to mention back at NASA, you've got Baron Mordo, too.
Yeah.
So,
Ultimates, well, and the Miles Morales animated Ultimate Spider-Man.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Cool.
Childface Gambino, a.k.a.
That guy.
That guy
with the face, yeah.
Well, yes, the guy from Community, Troy.
Yes, yes.
Donald Glover.
Oh, that guy, yes, gotcha, yeah. Gotcha. Very cool. Yes, we gotta find some short-lived supervillain to give Sean Bean to get him over onto our side of the fence too.
Yes, so. And of course he's got to die at some point.
Right. You know, just a one-shot villain for a movie or something.
Maybe that is one of the best parts of the movie when they're calling their little secret meeting Elrond, and you've got Boromir sitting at the
right.
Table.
Right, exactly. That was pretty cool. All right, well, we should. While this has been interesting, we should probably get back to MCU stuff.
Yes, of course.
So we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will be talking about the season finale of Agent Carter, Hollywood Ending.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Cornflake.
So we host the Flopcast.
We cover nerd and geek subjects of all types, but this is sort of a sillier, goofier side of geekdom, I'd say.
We love to talk about music, especially funny music.
We talk about comic books, conventions.
Saturday morning cartoons.
Oh, yeah. I'd say if you're going to put the Flopcast in Brady Bunch terms, we're like the Cousin Oliver of podcasting. And we do a ridiculous new Flopcast episode every week.
What is wrong with us?
We really have nothing else to do. We're part of the Earth Station One podcast network.
And you can find us at flopcast.net.
Welcome back, Marvel Universe, and now we are going to be talking about our season finale, hopefully not the series finale, of...
especially not the way that ended.
Exactly, exactly. Let's go ahead and just jump to that.
Okay.
That, obviously, at the ending, things were looking great. Carter and Thompson were getting along. Thompson was not being a jerk. And it's like, okay, and everything wrapped up. We had the big kiss. And then we go to Thompson, and I'm like, well, I thought the episode was going to be over with the kiss. But no, he's in his hotel room.
No, we've always got to have the stinger in a Marvel.
Right, right. That's true. That's very true. But he gets shot, and...
Yeah, it was completely out of nowhere. On my Facebook page, I was like, I posted a picture of Homer going, woohoo, with the kiss.
Yeah.
And then I was like, don't!
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, and it was interesting because, you know, they show the feet walking in, and they show him fall down, and I was... Because I was thinking, this is going to be the special guest star, you know, like we had Zola last time. Mm-hmm. They're going to do a cool cameo from somebody. And I was waiting, I wanted for them to pan up and have it be the Winter Soldier, which would have been so cool.
You and a lot of people, and myself included, would have been really nice for Bucky to show up.
Yes.
But I guess that wasn't meant to be.
Yes. I mean, technically it's possible that it could be him.
Yeah.
There are some other theories floating around. Do you have any ideas of your own of who our mystery killer might be?
I would think it might be somebody, maybe somebody connected to Leviathan or Hydra. Because they would have been aware of that file. They would have been aware of what Thompson had been doing, and
I'm
considering what he gave to Carter.
Right. Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and give credit to a fan of the show, Lucas, friend of the show, who is absolutely awesome, and he had an idea that I think he is absolutely right on. He thinks that it's Peggy's brother, that he didn't really die because we didn't see him die. You know, and he was obviously involved in the intelligence agency in Britain during the war, and it would make sense for him to be someone who would come in to try and steal that file back.
And
because
he could fake his death. We don't know.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, he would be wanting to look out for Peggy and keep her safe and everything. So I think that's a brilliant idea.
She'd be massively ticked at him.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But the thing is, not only did they bring him in the flashback episode,
mm-hmm.
but they also brought him back at the beginning of the that big musical number. So it's not like he was just a one and done. They did bring him back. They want right. us to remember that he exists. So I think that would be very interesting if that happens. And the showrunners have been interviewed, and they have said mm-hmm. that he's been shot, but he is not necessarily dead. Thompson,
right.
that
and,
is.
And they told Chad Michael Murray, look, you get shot.
Right.
That's it. We're not handling whether you live or die.
Right. Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I think that's a pretty cool, like I said, I really wanted for it to be Bucky, but, if we can't have Bucky, I think that's a really cool theory about, who that could have been. And props to Lucas for that. I can't claim the credit for it. I thought that was a pretty cool idea though. So I guess going back, we had, obviously, a lot of different stuff going on in here. We got Howard back, which was awesome. Mm-hmm. I guess I remember him having more like fashion sense or panache in season one. I was just getting some pictures together to send to our art person for the cover for this week, and right. he's practically wearing sweats. It's like, Howard, you look like a bum.
You know, he's got money. He can look how he wants to.
That's true. That's very true. So we got him back. We got the whole gang together. Well, not Rose, but most of the gang together for the end there, where they were, you know, figuring out how they were going to trap Whitney and get rid of the Zero Matter and everything. And I think that it's kind of a shame because Whitney has just ended right. up being such a cool character, but we didn't really get much of her in this final thing. There wasn't really kind of showdown that I was expecting.
Yeah, you know, you really kind of want this big confrontation, and it's mostly, all right, let's just not let Whitney get sucked into the machine and get powerful.
Right, right, exactly. And, you know, there's a little bit of her, you know, being mm-hmm. being crazy, and then she gets there, and she gets sucked into the rift, and then I will say though,
well, her stuff gets sucked out of the rift, or
right, right. I'm sorry, yes, her Zero Matter gets sucked into the rift. She doesn't get sucked into it, but but I will say props to the writers and to the actress for having a really good ending for that character. That was very, very sad. With her just having completely lost it.
And sadder almost for Manfredi, because, you know, you could see that he's still in love with her.
Right.
Despite the fact that in her delusions, she's talking to Cal and telling
right.
Cal that she loves him.
Exactly. But he doesn't know that. He just knows that she's, you know, She's super squirrely, but really,
well,
really beautifully.
She says that in front of him, I believe.
Oh, no, does she?
Or she's looking out the window and talking about how much she loves Cal while he's standing right behind her.
Oh, yeah. You're absolutely right. I thought it was really good camera work there, though, to have the panning shot that shows her looking like glamorous Whitney Frost, and then you come around the corner and she looks all crazy town.
Yeah, and apparently she's been trying to claw her face open to
yes.
get back at the Zero Matter. When, you know, the orderly tells Manfredi, like, you can't bring those in there.
Right.
She might use the thorns to try to claw her face some more.
Right, which is, again, is interesting, because if they get another season, or if mm-hmm. they ever want to bring her back, if she's clawing at her face, that explains how she becomes Madame Mask.
Could be.
So that would be a good explanation. But yeah, Manfredi was a character that I expected to be a one episode and done kind of guy. You know, that
yeah.
we were just going to see, you know, him being a scary mafia guy briefly to sort of show us how Whitney was involved with, you know, dark, shady people. And then
yeah.
he wasn't going to come back. And he ended up being in a fair bit of this episode.
They did a very good job really giving him characterization, not letting him just be the one-dimensional mob guy, because of course we see that he really cares deeply about Whitney. He's got kind of almost a love-hate relationship with his mother.
Mm-hmm.
We even see that apparently he and Howard go back.
Yes, yes, indeed. That was a neat little touch there. But but yeah, he ended up turning into a very, very interesting character. So that ended up being pretty cool. Let's see what else we got. Jarvis seems to be he's certainly not back to where he was, but he's not in the frothing frothing grimdark mode that he was in the last episode.
Although he did take a certain pleasure in running Whitney over with the car.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
Was he? I can't remember if it was you or somebody else on my wall who said he would have gladly backed over her if he could.
Yes, yes. No, that was though somebody else. But yeah. I think that is absolutely true.
And we saw further developments with him and Anna, and Anna, of course, knows about her condition and.
Mm-hmm.
He admitted that they had a little cry over it, but that she is much stronger than he is.
Right. Yeah. He said that she was dealing with it better than he was, which, and there again, that's an interesting dimension to the whole issue of women as, the idea of their childbearing ability being very central to them, you know, for her, obviously it's important to any woman, you know, whether you plan to have kids or not, the whole having that choice taken away from you is going to be a big deal no matter what. But I'm glad to see that she fared decently with that, and that she feels like she can go on. So
yes.
So that's good. And then I guess we've got Peggy and Sousa.
I know. I mean, that was definitely the moment where you're like, yes, finally.
And, you know, with a title like Hollywood Ending, I thought that's how it's going to have to end, right? It's going to have to end with a big kiss, because that's what it is.
That's what you do in Hollywood.
Right.
You get the happy ending. Everybody ends up together. Thompson ends up getting shot.
Right.
You know, everyone goes home happy.
Exactly, exactly. But, I'm dying to know. I really wish we could get a season three. Maybe they'll do like a season three in the comics or something, if it doesn't get renewed. But
I mean, that certainly has happened before, but although it's been more for other programs, especially like Joss Whedon shows.
Right, like Buffy and things
Angel
like that.
Angel and
yep.
Firefly.
Yep. But... I think there's so many questions left hanging at the end of this, and you know, right. One of them is, you know, are they actually going to stay together? Because you know, we know that Peggy eventually gets married, but you know, is that who she's going to marry, or was it just, you know, a falling madly in love briefly and then going their separate ways, or what's going to happen with that?
I don't know. My headcanon is that they get married, and the police officer we see in Avengers
is their kid,
their
yes.
grandson.
Yes, yes, that would be very cool. Very cool. Played by the same actor as Sousa.
Yeah.
So, yep, that was pretty cool. And yes, I thought probably one of my favorite scenes was when they were all standing around when the rift was open, arguing over who was going to sacrifice themselves and saying, well, it should be me. And Sousa doesn't argue. He just goes over and does it. And I thought that was very true to his character and very appropriate and just awesome of him.
Yes, and then thankfully Jarvis and Samberly come up with an alternate plan that requires no one to die.
Right, exactly, exactly.
We had a group chat open, and I immediately post a GIF of the Ninth Doctor going, "Everybody lives."
Yes, yes, exactly.
Not you, Thompson. Oh.
Well, he made
well,
it through that scene.
Yet.
He made it through that scene, and I think he's gonna survive.
I would hope so. I do like his character. The back and forth between whether he's betraying Peggy or not this season was interesting.
It was interesting, and it was not just a is he going to betray Peggy or not, but I thought he had an interesting character arc internally in terms of him figuring out what his loyalties you know, were. Is it that he's loyal to the government? Is he loyal to the SSR? Is he loyal to his friends? You know, because yes. all of those things came into conflict. You know, is he going to go for the, you know, political advancement route, or is he going to, you know, just try and do the right thing? So I thought he was a very interesting character. I know there are some people that have really busted on mm-hmm. him as being like proto Ward, which I don't see that at all, because I see Ward as having been such a completely different character.
Right.
You know, they're. And I don't think that, you know, we had some good deciding which side he was on stuff for that one episode. But I'm really hoping that he sticks around, you know, depending on who it was that shot him. You know, it could go a bunch of different ways. But my gut mm-hmm. feeling is that person was there to get the file, and they only shot him yes. to make it so they would get away with it.
Yeah, the file that is supposedly not even real.
Right, because it's about supposed war crimes that Peggy committed, but most of it's mm-hmm. redacted, and you know, who knows, but yeah. But whoever it was that killed him thought that it was, you know, it was legitimate enough to not want it in his hands. So
right,
or
if it is Peggy's brother, damaging enough. That it could hurt her reputation, regardless right. of whether it's true or not.
Exactly. I think that's definitely a good possibility there. All right. So, any other good scene stuff you want to talk about, or should we go for ratings?
I think I loved Howard actually trying to hit golf balls into the void.
Yes.
Howard had a lot of good moments between that, between him and Manfredi mm-hmm. and their backstory that you would like to know more about.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of sad with Wilkes, but you know, I think it had to go the route of Haley or of Peggy and mm-hmm. Sousa ending up together.
Right.
And also Howard hitting on Rose.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely.
Howard will anything that walks, apparently. Any woman that walks.
Well, you know, there's that, and there's also the fact that it seems like he understands the value of making people feel special, and right. so he's going to do that to any woman, whether or not he has plans of yes. Of romancing her. He's gonna do the seduction thing to because he wants to be, you know. He's just that kind of guy who wants everybody to be in love.
That was one of my favorite lines was, you can call me Howard. Can I call you Howard? Nope.
Nope. Exactly. That was beautiful.
And then you also had the one where, like, Wilkes and Samberly and Howard are all getting praised by Peggy and Susan. Uh-huh. And they're like, oh, God, you can hear their egos growing.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Those were all great lines and good little bits of levity in an episode that had a lot of angst and sacrifice yeah. and melodrama. So that was all good. Alrighty. Okay, so I guess time to do ratings for this episode.
Yep.
So if we're talking on a scale of 1 to 5 pink flamingos, with 1 being terrible and 5 being best episode ever, where would you place this episode?
I'll stick this one at a 4 again.
Mm-hmm.
I really had high expectations for the season finale,
mm-hmm.
and it really didn't deliver on all of them.
Yeah.
The confrontation wasn't as good as it was last season.
Mm-hmm.
The end credit scene, as intriguing as it was, as mm-hmm. much of a cliffhanger as it is for season 3,
mm-hmm.
didn't really give us the big moment that Arnim Zola did in
right.
season 1.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it almost felt like this kind of, it built itself up and then puttered out a little bit towards the end and just kind of managed to cruise across the finish line.
Exactly. I'm also going to go with a 4 for many of the same reasons. I think that, you know, it did what it needed to do. It was mm-hmm. it wasn't a bad episode by any means.
No.
But, you know, we've seen them pull off some really outstanding episodes.
Yes.
And this just was not as good as I think we were all hoping for. It didn't have, and I mean, admittedly, there were a lot of things, you know, in that first season that you can't really, you know, replicate. It was going to be hard for them to top Zola as a guest star. You know, it's hard to top things like I'm pretty sure it was in the season finale that she threw the vial of Steve's blood into the river, presumably creating giant river monsters in Brooklyn, but
so that's where all those rats came from.
Indeed.
Thanks, Peggy.
But you know, it would have been very hard for them to pull off something like that, and they didn't. You know, Whitney went, you know, was so big and so dramatic all through this season, and she just kind of, like you said, just kind of petered out. And, you know, I think we had a lot of great moments, but it was just a little bit disappointing that there wasn't more of a Hollywood ending. I mean, you know, we got the kiss, but we didn't get you didn't want to jump up and cheer. You know,
nobody rode off into the sunset.
So anyway, I think that there was a lot of stuff that went great, but I was expecting more of a Hollywood ending that made me stand up and cheer and be excited. And while the kiss was nice, it was, you know, it was the cliche that we were all expecting, you know.
Yes.
So,
well, we would have been disappointed without it.
True. You know, and you know, it was always going to be Sousa. It would have been very cool if it was Wilkes, but it was very clear from Peggy's reactions that she was much more into Sousa than she was into Wilkes. So
yes.
So anyway, all right. Well, next week we have Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. coming back.
Woohoo!
Yay! And I'm excited about that. I guess one more
Secret Warriors.
Yep. A lot more Secret Warrior stuff. One other like news-ish thing that I'll throw in right at the end here was they had an interesting interview with Clark Gregg about how dark Coulson was going to go.
Yeah.
And and a lot of, you know, discussion about that online. I mean, personally, I feel like, you know, on that show, May and Fitz are both very dark characters already. I don't see Coulson in any way like turning against the team. I don't think he's
I think at worst likely to become kind of an extremist. We've seen one clip for next week where he's asking Fitz to turn the little memory machine back on because apparently he's going to do some hardcore interrogating.
Right. Which is definitely, you know, definitely on the Jack Bauer end of the spectrum.
Yes.
So we'll see how it goes. I think that I don't have a problem with, because I mean, he killed a guy in cold blood last episode. Admittedly, it was Ward, and he did have it coming.
I mean, it's probably not the first person Coulson has ever had to kill, but it's probably the first person he's killed in that manner.
Right. It was very personal. It was very, you know, and the whole thing of him going there, you know, that's not what the director of S.H.I.E.L.D. should be doing. He pretty much had to, you know, temporarily step down as director in order to do that. So anyway, I think that will
and
be.
And he did step down. Like, he knew that this was not going to be something that he could do in, you know, within the rules. So he's like, okay, Mac, you're director now.
Yep.
I'm gonna go kill Ward.
Right. And you know, that was his choice. He turned a corner there, and you know, obviously, like you said, you know, he's a spy. I'm sure he's killed people before, but that was a very emotional vengeance motivated murder there. So anyway, it will be interesting to see how that goes. It will be interesting to see if we have Mac or someone else kind of step up as the moral leader of the team or something. Mm-hmm. But yeah, lots of interesting stuff to come in the second half of the season for S.H.I.E.L.D. and I'm excited about it.
Definitely. I mean, I can't wait for another week.
Exactly. So, anywho, that's about it for us this week. We will, of course, be back next week talking about the beginning of the new second half of the season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And pretty soon, we're going to have Daredevil. So, lots of cool stuff to look forward to. and we will see you next week.
A little bird once said to me, you gotta live a little before you're happy, and if you take a lot, you'll be left with none. I had to learn a bit, live a bit, let it all sink in a bit.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek. Classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at ESONetwork.com.